We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The ultimate pro basketball preview, presented by Odyssey and Locked On Podcast Network. Play in hopefuls.
Welcome to another episode of the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. This 6-episode series will answer all of your lingering questions for the upcoming NBA season. Each episode, we will feature a Locked On NBA roundtable with the local experts covering your team every day. A Nothing But Bet segment. This episode, Matt Moore joins me from the Action Network to talk about all the betting angles from these teams. NBA expert Trista Crick will join us from the Heat Check podcast. Fantasy expert Josh Lloyd of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Show will join us. And then later in the series, the voice of NBA draft analysis and Locked On NBA Big Board host Rafael Barlow will talk about some of the players that these teams could tank for. I'm your host, Nick Engstead, daily host of the Locked On NBA and Mavericks podcast. But for this series, I'll be your host as we visit with over 30 different experts to get you ready for the NBA season ahead. Today's focus will be the play-in teams. Teams that their goal is the play-in. Those that want to prove themselves and eventually get to the postseason. The Sacramento Kings, Charlotte Hornets, Washington Wizards, Detroit Pistons, and Indiana Pacers. Let's get started with our friend Trista Crick of the Odyssey's Heat Check podcast to show us which of these teams has the best chance of making the play-in.
First and foremost, I think you have to kind of look to the West because I think there's a lot of competitive versatility there. You saw the Pelicans make it to the play-in, and they started off like 1-20. So I would start first and foremost and take it to the West Coast. This is going to sound really gross, and it's going to sound like I'm pandering because I'm very connected and beloved within the Sacramento Kings fan base. And I might be insane. Test me for some sort of LSD or drugs, but it feels like it's the Kings. It does. No, it does. If Keegan Murray can be who we know he has the potential to be this year, which is rookie of the year, right? A guy who can get you 25 points on any given night, be a really good defender, a really good sneaky rebounder. If Mike Brown can get this team to actually buy into defense, and they should be able to gel and find some level of mediocrity on defense, right? Because you're going to get a lot of very easy games because you got San Antonio and you've got Utah blatantly, aggressively, and disrespectfully tanking for Victor Wembanyama. So you're going to get a lot of those games from them that they're just going to hand over to you. That's going to happen in the East as well. And I don't think Sacramento is interested in the least in disappointing their fan base. I think they're trying to compete, right? I think that they have a lot of young guys who can score. They're going to be able to put up buckets. Kayvon Herter, right? We know he can score. Sabonis, Keegan, Malik Monk off the bench. We know he's a little microwave. So if they can figure out a way to defend on any level, and they can pick up easy games from teams that are very obviously trying to tank, I think they could sneak in like 10 seed. I don't think that's too crazy.
All right, welcome back to the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022. This is the Play-In Hopefuls. We are the Locked On NBA hosts. We cover our teams 5 days a week on each of our individual Locked On shows. On today's show with me, I have Brandon Scott from the Locked On Wizards show. I have Tony East from Locked On Pacers. I have Walker Mel and his sultry tones from Locked On Hornets. An incredible group here. We also are going to be talking about the Pistons and the Kings in this group as well. Gentlemen, let's start with this. What needs to happen for your team to make the play-in? And I don't know if I can pick one that's the closest to make the play-in, but maybe it's the team that actually did make the play-in last year in the Charlotte Hornets. So, Walker, I'll start with you. What needs to happen for your team to make the play-in?
It's also the only team I feel like that got worse in the Eastern Conference of the teams that actually made the play-in. You know, if they didn't get worse this past offseason, or if they didn't improve, all the other franchises improved the previous offseason, right? Like, you had the Atlanta Hawks go for DeJounte Murray and trade a whole bunch of picks. Now you see even Cleveland get better. Detroit looks like it's a better basketball team. And here, Charlotte, after making the play-in, they fire James Borrego because it wasn't enough, at least in their minds, considering who they had on the roster. And they get destroyed in the play-in, mind you, for the second straight year. Actually worse than the Pacers game the previous year. So no improvement there. What has to happen for them to make the play-in? What's going to happen? Is they're going to have to find some adequate replacing of Miles Bridges, who I don't expect to play basketball for at least a very long time with the Charlotte Hornets team. And I don't know how that's going to happen. The ways that I hypothesize it could happen is Gordon Hayward staying healthy, but certainly can't set your clock to that. PJ Washington is down 20 pounds, looks more athletic. It looks like PJ muscle watch season here. Everybody's in the greatest shape of their life in the offseason. Seems like PJ has embodied that mantra.
Do we want Hornets center PJ Washington to be down 20 pounds?
Something. Yeah, it's like, if I guess not the small ball five PJ, but we do want 4 and 3 taking over for Miles PJ to be down 20 pounds. So, you know, we'll see about the offensive load that he can share, but also LaMelo just continuing to ascend up the NBA ranks. Is he somebody that is a bona fide all-star after getting there through the first alternate route last year? And can he actually flirt with an all-NBA appearance? I'm not predicting that happens. I'm saying those are the ways that we can really see the Hornets get in there, because right now Vegas has them at a 36.5 over under win total. That's 11th in the Eastern Conference, and it's probably about the right number to put for the Charlotte Hornets. So yeah, it was a brutal offseason for them. I mean, absolutely horrific for them. And it's why we're in this group again. Play-in hopefuls, despite having made it last year and they fired the coach because they expect more.
Do you think that play-in is the ceiling for this Hornets team? Or do you think that they could go make the playoffs maybe even this year?
I think it's probably the ceiling, because it's 7 seed, right? Like, yeah. If you go down the Eastern Conference, who are they better than? Who are, you know, can you get them in a top 6 seed at the end of the regular season? It's hard for me to do that, especially again, like a lot of these Eastern Conference teams improved this offseason or made some type of move. And the Hornets, the only thing they did was draft Mark Williams in the first round. Looks like he's kind of out of the rotation, according to Steve Clifford, as it stands currently. Yeah, oof. I know. Yeah, brutal, especially with the Mason Plumlee and Nick Richards as your starting and backup centers. And they brought back Cody Martin. Those are the moves. That's it. So it's not like that screams, hey, we're going to make a big jump into the 6th seed this year. Yeah, it's probably play-in as their absolute ceiling.
God, I'm just fully depressed.
There's a nice primer for the play-in hopeful group right there, guys. Take it away. Here's the baton.
All right, let's move on to a show that maybe has a little bit more talent on their team and could maybe make a better case to make the play-in. Brandon Scott from Locked On Wizards. What needs to happen for the Wizards to make the play-in and then possibly the playoffs this year?
I see three main areas that will propel this team to hopefully get into the play-in and maybe the playoffs. One, defense. This team was not very good defensively. With the recent trade for Monte Morris and Will Barton and DeLon, and signing DeLon Wright, I think the defense will get better. But obviously, we lose a little defense, losing KCP to Denver. So, but I mean, defense has to get better. With Wes Unseld, his forte is defense. So it has to improve, especially on the perimeter. Two, three-point shooting percentage. We were terrible last year, three-point percentage. With the addition of Will Barton and Monte Morris and DeLon Wright, and strides made by Rui Hachimura and Bradley Beal come back from injury, I see this team being a lot better with a three-point shot. And finally, game planning. Wes Unseld, the big issue last season for the Wizards was, after the trade, sending Russell Westbrook to the Lakers and all the pieces we got back, was trying to consolidate everybody. And it caused a lot of chemistry issues, a lot of issues in the locker room. And so now it's not so much an issue this season, but we still have to make a little bit of consolidation. We have a lot of players who can play multiple positions. If you look at, point guard, Monte Morris can play the two guard. Same thing with DeLon Wright. Bradley Beal showed that he can run the point. We have a lot of players who can play multiple positions. If you look at Kyle Kuzma, there's questions whether he can play the three or if they're going to slide him into power forward. And the same with Rui Hachimura. We have a lot of guys who can fit different roles. So, if we can improve on defense and if we can improve behind the three-point arc, and if we can really, really consolidate this team and really get people into the roles, I think that playing, wouldn't be an issue. I can see at our best us being a 6 seed.
I don't know if I hear any of those names that you mentioned and then hear better perimeter defense. Tony and Walker, I don't know if you guys are hearing the same thing, but Monte Morris, Will Barton, I don't know if I'm buying, losing KCP. I don't know if I'm buying the Wizards as a team that could get better on defense. I think it's just got to be sort that offense out and figure out how a Kuzma, Porzingis, Bradley Beal, and all those other pieces you mentioned, how they just outrun and gun again, can it outscore some of these other teams? Because I think that's the path for the Wizards.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. But I think the changes, there's several factors that change this offseason. One, they hosted a mini camp in L.A. And, they're already working on chemistry. And chemistry was a huge issue last season. Two, with bringing in Marshawn Gortat to teach the big guys, Kristaps Porzingis and Daniel Gafford, I think that's a big plus. And having a veteran like Taj Gibson, defense is something that you got to put effort into. It can't necessarily be taught. So when you look, when you're learning from guys like Taj Gibson and from Marshawn Gortat, which, weren't bad defensively in their day, so yeah, I can see why you're skeptical. But in the same token, if you look at the last two games they played in Japan for the preseason the chemistry was there. The communication on defense was there. Rui Hachimura was an afterthought on defense. He was lost in the sauce last season in defense. And you saw effort. You saw DeLon Wright really, you see the effort. So, small things like that, chemistry, effort, they're going to go a long way for this team.
Moving over to the Pacers, the one team here that a lot of people raised their eyebrows to, including the host of Locked On Jazz, who took mad offense to being included in the Tankers group. Tony East, what's the path for the Pacers to potentially make the play-in?
Yeah, Indiana Pacers are unique in that, one, they have publicly stated, their head coach Rick Carlisle, their president of basketball operations Kevin Pritchard, that they're going into a long-term project. So maybe this year isn't the year they reach the play-in specifically, but they would like to, because every team likes to win and reach the play-in. And given the history of this franchise, who's picked inside the top 10 once in the last 33 years, they would like to continue to win at that sort of level and reached the postseason. That's how their ownership group works. So, well, it does appear that the Pacers will be going through a longer term project as they develop their team. Of course, reaching the play-in would be a solid consolation prize for their season. And I think if that's going to happen, it'll fall all on the back of Tyrese Haliburton, right? Their new big acquisition, the guy they got at the trade deadline last year, that they were willing to send out a two-time All-Star in Domantas Sabonis to get him because they view him as a foundational piece for their long-term rebuild, both this year and beyond. And, you know, he's the only guy ever in NBA history to average 15 points and 8 assists and shoot 40% from three in one of their first two seasons. Everybody else who's been about 38% in those numbers has been an All-Star. Mark Price, Trae Young, Darius Garland for some recent examples. So, you know, he's trending down that path. If he can take that step this year and some of their younger guys step up, this team, along with Miles Turner, one of their returning centers, who knows what his future is, but they have the pieces in place to potentially take that step forward on the back of Tyrese Haliburton, their franchise point guard.
There's a couple other teams that are mentioned in this episode that we don't have represented here. The Sacramento Kings, Walker, I guess you and I could start talking about this. Domantas Sabonis, you have De'Aaron Fox. They've added a bunch of talent recently. It seems like the Sacramento Kings are maybe the team with the best case out of this group to make a play-in. Are you buying the Sacramento Kings potentially making a run at the play-in this year and finally breaking their playoff streak, which is now the longest in sports as much as a playoff drought?
Do we count that being broken if you get a 9 or a 10 seed and reach the play-in? Does that count?
Is it a postseason drought? What's the actual record?
Yeah, no, I don't know if you want to count it. But if it does count, then sure, this could be that year. Especially if you look back at last season, the Spurs are the team you're going to bring back out. Now the Lakers, depending on, you know, how much faith you have in that organization right now, LeBron James and Anthony Davis healthy is a good start to get into the play-in tournament compared to any other team that was on the outside. But Minnesota got better. We know Pelicans. Speaking of muscle watch season, Zion, baby, looks like he's down about 50, right? Maybe PJ Washington's got some work to do before he catches Zion. So it looks like the Spurs are the team you're looking at. Also Jazz, you know, they would start coming back to the pack. So there's a little bit more cushion for the Kings to reach one of those top 10 spots. Yeah, I probably do think it comes down to them. Think you're right. They have probably the best shot. You know, certainly in the Western Conference, but, you know, Washington too, like I like some of the talent that they have there. And with the Hornets, it's not crazy to think that the Hornets could get there, but with the Kings, I kind of agree with you. It's probably them that if you were forced to put some money on a franchise to make it out of the groups we're talking about. Yeah. Sacramento, you know, as contradictory as that may sound, Sacramento might be your best bet.
Tony, are you buying Sacramento and what Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox could bring? They bring in Malik Monk. They have Kent, you know, they bring in Kevin Huerter. They try to infuse more talent. And they're always like this win now team that everyone wishes should be in the tankers, but they never seem to be.
Yeah, you know, they'll be hard to defend with all the lefty star power they've got out there. But in general, the interesting thing about the Kings is, like, I think Walker nailed it. The West is kind of like 10 good teams at the moment. And so if you are pushing for that play-in, you know, maybe you can. Portland's going to be one of the teams trying to get in there that wasn't there last year, as are the Lakers. But like he said, the Jazz and the Spurs look to drop out. So they're going to be right in the mix. There's not that many teams going for what they're going for. So they obviously are going to have a good chance. De'Aaron Fox should get better, especially having the ball more often. He averaged almost 29 points per game after they traded away Tyrese Haliburton. Davion Mitchell should get better. Sabonis with an offseason in Sacramento should get better. In theory, this team has a lot of pieces in the right places now. They've got a roster that makes sense given the talent they acquired at the last trade deadline. So I think they've got a good shot to reach it. But as has been known to be the problem with the Kings for years and years, there's always a lot of bark and very rarely does the bite actually come. So they're going to have to put it all together. New head coach in Mike Woodson, can he make them defend? They've never been good on defense. So there's a lot of if Fox and Sabonis click, the Kings will be good. If Mike Woodson can make them defend, I just said the wrong coach's name twice. Either way, you know, I think that they can do those things, but will they actually do it? That's been the Kings' problem for years and years.
It didn't even faze me that you said that. I was like, oh, they probably just changed their coach since the last time I thought about it, because their coaches have just turned over so often.
Apologies to you through and through, man.
I was going to say, as an IU grad, I say Mike Woodson. Mike Brown, excuse me, defensive-minded coach, now the coach of the Kings, since I said it incorrectly two different times.
Yeah, Tom Crean really should be able to do some nice stuff with Sacramento this year. Going to be awesome.
At a certain point, he may be the coach of the Sacramento Kings. Might be. Just keep turning them over. The last team that's represented, it should be represented here, is the Detroit Pistons. And Brandon, you look at this Detroit Pistons team, you see, all right, Cade Cunningham. They have probably the best player out of this whole group.
Mello, LaMelo Ball fans are coming at you right now. I know that. Like, are we saying that right now with Cade? Is Cade better than LaMelo right now?
I was going to say, it's Cade, LaMelo, or Bradley Beal probably of this group, yeah, right?
And Beal has the
Sabonis. Sabonis, maybe. Tony, you want to pick up for your guy Sabonis?
No, I don't think he's one of the best.
He's like, no, I don't want to. But maybe that's the four. So, but they have Cade Cunningham. They have a solid building block, and they added Bojan Bogdanovic from the Jazz. That's a good player, like a win now type player that they brought in. They have all these young guys. They added Jaden Ivey in the draft. They added Jalen Duren in the draft. They have Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart and some of these other building blocks that they're just kind of trying to build this team around. Brandon, are you buying that the Pistons at any certain point that Cade Cunningham could lead them to a play-in berth?
Absolutely. This team is loaded. I think this is a sleeper team in the East. You know, the East is deep, but I mean, look at the names. You know, I think there are questions. You know, can Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham play in the same backcourt and be effective? That's a question. But I mean, look at the talent. Sadiq Bey, 3D guy. I mean, you got Bagley. Isaiah Stewart.
They have Bagley. That is a player.
This is a deep team, and they're deep, and they're young, and they're hungry. So absolutely, I have them as a playoff team, to be totally honest with you.
You're feeling them as the problem with both of these conferences, really, is there's just so few spots. Like, I think this team, the Pistons, I think the Hornets, I think all these teams, really, the Kings especially, are just hoping on one of those top 10 teams to have some kind of crazy injury or fallout. And it usually happens. Like, every year, there's probably one or two teams that we look at and say, well, dang, we all had the Lakers last year penciled in as at least a play-in team, and they ended up not making it at all. So we start looking at it that way. But there you go. That's what needs to happen for all these teams to make the play-in. Coming up, we will talk to all these hosts about what the move is next. What's the future for these teams? Throughout this season, the trade deadlines, the draft coming up, what do they need to do to get out of the play-in hopeful and eventually become a playoff team? We'll talk about that coming up next. Coming up, it's the Josh Lloyd Fantasy Minute, the biggest names from the play-in hopefuls group that you should keep an eye on this fantasy basketball season.
Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox was really strong down the stretch last season. Him and Sabonis have the makings of a good fantasy pairing. I think Fox is an interesting player, but of course, he always seems to start every season without being able to shoot. And then Keegan Murray in the like 85 to 100 range of a draft. It might be a slow start, as it is for many rookies, but I think he'll be solid in that area. For the Hornets, well, there's a big gap with Miles Bridges not there at the time of recording this. PJ Washington's likely going to step in. I'm not big on Mark Williams as a flyer type at the moment. He's the third string center, so we don't worry about that. The guy to watch is Jalen McDaniels. I think there is an opportunity for him, especially if Steve Clifford gets annoyed at Kelly Oubre's defense. LaMelo Ball is a rock-solid first-round pick, and Gordon Hayward is going really, really late in draft, so I'm pretty interested to see what happens there with him. For the Wizards, yeah, I like Porzingis. We worry about his knees, of course, and he is an interesting guy that you can get round four in a lot of spots, and I'm pretty intrigued with that. I think Beal is better than last season, but not to the top 15 level he was 2 or 3 years ago. And then it's just a mishmash of guys. It's Barton and Kuzma and Hachimura and Avdija and all those players who probably eat into each other's value a bit. Monty Morris gets some value. He's not a huge upside guy because he's not a high usage player. And he's someone to watch as a later round point guard. For the Pistons, I'm big on Cade. I reckon he could be a second round player this season. You might get him in the third. I'm really excited to see what he can do. What they do at center is going to be intriguing. Is it Isaiah Stewart? Is it Marvin Bagley? Is it Jalen Duren? I don't know. I think you take flyers on those guys. Duren and Stewart are much better than Bagley. Sadiq Bey is solid enough in the last or later rounds, as is Bojan Bogdanovic, while Jaden Ivey, I think, like most rookie guards, is going to have pretty big struggles early on, especially with efficiency and with Cade having the ball in his hands. Ivey's assist potential is not going to be particularly high, but he and Bogdanovic and Duren and Stewart, all these guys can be picked with your last pick in a fantasy draft. While for Indiana, one of the hot fantasy basketball names is Tyrese Halliburton. He's going in the first round in a lot of spots, and I think at the end of the first round, that's totally fine. The risk, of course, with Pacers guys like Miles Turner and Buddy Hield is a trade. I think if Turner is traded, his value sticks. If Hield is traded, that probably loses a lot of that value. And then you've got later picks like Chris Duarte, which I'm pretty interested in, Jalen Smith, and Isaiah Jackson. Of course, Isaiah Jackson's value shoots through the roof if Turner is traded, so he's worth it as a later pick because he can still provide value in a backup role and might get actually huge if Turner is dealt. I'm not as big on Benedict Mathurin, as I said, with Ivy. the track record of rookie guards who are shooting guards in particular struggling in fantasy is lengthy. So he'll be pretty bad, I would imagine, from a fantasy perspective early on, especially if, as we see things at the moment, he's coming off the bench behind Hield and Chris Duarte.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here for another episode of the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. Before we continue with our Locked On Expert Roundtable, here's Odyssey's Trista Crick of the Heat Check Podcast on which of these teams are one step away from playoff contention.
Well, I think it's tough, right? Because you could easily just say Charlotte because Charlotte's been a play-in team, but boy, are they a disaster. We have no idea what's going on with Miles Bridges, whether he's ever going to play basketball again, whether Gordon Hayward's ever going to be healthy, how that whole thing is going to work with, you know, Steve Clifford coming back again. So I'm just going to table all expectations for them, even though they've been in the play-in not that long ago, right? I think you have to say, okay, what were the Indiana Pacers, who are very clearly rebuilding, trying to do this offseason? They were trying to get DeAndre Ayton. Can they still get DeAndre Ayton? Absolutely. Did it look like Ayton wanted to go to Indiana? Absolutely. Is it possible in January for them to make that move if DeAndre Ayton wants it to happen? Yes. So I think that's the move. Like, you look at Ben Mathurin. You look at, I know, Chris Duarte. I know he's not going to be like a starter necessarily, but this is a guy who can get you some buckets as well. You've got Hallie, who's in the mix. obviously Miles Turner probably not going to be there long term, but you've got some pieces here, and I think that they're really interesting if you added them with Jalen Smith already to play four, and then a guy like DeAndre Ayton, who they have played together for Phoenix. I think then they're actually a team that could very easily get into the play-in. But Ayton's not somebody that you can just pick up off the street. That's going to be a big move that they'll have to make. But that's the move. That's the move that they were very clearly trying to do, and that's the move that I think is still on the table for them.
All right, back on the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022. This is the Locked On NBA Roundtable with the play-in hopefuls, the Sacramento Kings, the Charlotte Hornets, the Washington Wizards, Detroit Pistons, and the Indiana Pacers all here. And we're asking the question, what's the next move that needs to be made for your team to make the playoffs? We can kind of put play-in in there as well to make this next step, because we don't feel strongly about any of these teams absolutely making the play-in or especially the playoffs this year. But Brandon, I'll start with you. For the Wizards going forward, what needs to happen and what moves need to be made for this Wizards team to go from a play-in hopeful to a solid playoff team going into the year?
I see two things that need to happen. One, we need a consolidation trade. Like I said, we have too many guys, especially at the three and four positions, that are fighting for minutes. Tommy Shepard has been very reluctant on moving on from any of these young guys. You know, Corey Kispert, Rui Hachimura, Johnny Davis, Denny Avia, you know, and I think he needs to be a little, you know, take a risky move, you know, because, you know, while, you know, me and Ed, we always say it's not really a big three, it's a solid three. You know, Chris Porzingis, I think if he's healthy, you know, health has always been the issue. I get it, you know, but, you know, the talent's always been there. And, you know, Bradley Beal, you know, now that he has a point guard who's going to push the pace and be a distributor, he can slide back into the role that he's been, you know, made his money with. You know, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, they pushed the ball and they allowed him to be more of a scorer instead of trying to be a distributor. Because I wasn't a big fan of him playing the point. I was totally against it. But, you know, I think we need to move one or two of these young guys and bring in a veteran and really consolidate this roster. And two, I think that Wes Unseld is going to have to sacrifice a part of his system. You know, his offense in Denver, while his defense was the name of the game for him, you know, the pace is way too slow. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie, if you look at him playing the point last season, it was slow. And it really messed up the chemistry of this team. You know, I think if he can push the pace and still emphasize defense, this team can go places.
And then he went. Then Spencer Dinwiddie went to Dallas, and they told him to slow down even more, which is basically what happened as the slowest team in the league last year. Walker Mill, for the Charlotte Hornets, what needs to happen going forward, maybe at the trade deadline, the draft this year, free agency next year? You're looking a year out, 2 years out. What needs to happen for this Hornets team to get back into the rising up phase and then to be a playoff team?
It is do something acceptable analysis, like anything.
Poke them with a stick and just do something.
The living embodiment of poking them with a stick saying, do something, because there's something was bring back Cody Martin. I've said that a million times this offseason. I don't have any other moves to go to. They were in on the Donovan Mitchell sweepstakes. It seemed like they were in on trying to bring a second star alongside LaMelo. And it was real 50-50 for me. You know, at that point, you would be completely gutting your roster in order to land Donovan Mitchell, where I think a lot of people feel like it makes sense for Cleveland. You have so much insurance there. You know, it wouldn't have taken getting rid of all of your talent to get a Donovan Mitchell and then pairing it with what they have still there on the roster, right? With the Hornets. I mean, I love PJ Washington as a solid basketball player for a, you know, a postseason team. I really like him defensively, helps them out a lot. But PJ probably is your most valuable asset that's already grown arms and legs. So outside of first round picks, it's like PJ's it. He really helps your team. You've got salary filler for Donovan and Gordon and Terry would have had to go, whatever player you choose. So is that a team that is going to make a top six spot? I guess my point is, how do they reach? One, it's LaMelo continuing to ascend, becoming a better defender, but also maybe being like a 23-4-5 point per game score. Like, is that something within his repertoire on top of the 7 rebounds and assists per game? Just LaMelo being a flat out stud, right? He's already growing very much so, continuing to get better. And then what is the trade they finally pull off? Because they just haven't made it despite being in the Miles Turner sweepstakes. I mean, Tony, man, we should have done a crossover pod already about 17 times now with a Miles Turner trade coming across our timeline, and we just haven't done it.
Just knew it wouldn't.
It's just not. It's just not going to happen. I do think that's one that would help the Hornets if they could find a way to do it. You know, I'm a Miles Turner fan, but it's going to take some kind of trade that has been threatened to happen a lot in Mitch Kupchak's tenure that he just hasn't quite felt the time was right for. Now you're getting pretty close, especially if you don't want to tank, and it doesn't seem like they want to. You know, the Miles Bridges situation put him in a really tough spot, but you have to answer. Like, I mean, that this is the cards you've been dealt. So, you know, you got to figure it out. I think that kind of trade is going to have to be what the Hornets do in order to make the postseason.
Moving to the Indiana Pacers, Tony East, what do you think the Pacers have to do to eventually become a playoff team going forward?
Sounds like the answer is make a trade with the Hornets and the Wizards.
Because come on, Tony. Let's do something.
The Wizards have too many threes and fours. The Pacers have effectively none of those. And the Hornets could send the Pacers the stuff they need for Miles Turner. On a more serious note, what do the Pacers need to do from a move perspective? Acquire forwards, right? And it's so vague to say something like that. But, you know, they're starting power forward this year. It's going to be Jalen Smith, who is a center, who played center at college. He played center with the Phoenix Suns, but they're trying to fit him in at power forward on this team. They're starting small forward this year. Looks like it's going to be Chris Duarte, who's 6'5" and projects to be a little better at the shooting guard position. Their backup small forward is someone who is either Aaron Nesmith, who's really short, or O'Shea Brissett, who's way too tall for that position. And Terry Taylor is 6'4", and they played him at the center position last year. All these names to say, O'Shea Brissett's a natural forward that they have on their team. And every other player on this roster, on the Pacers roster, is either obviously a guard or obviously a big. And they have to do something about that roster imbalance at some point when they get serious about competing, whether that's, you know, as has been referenced, a consolidation trade of, you know, a few guys. And forwards are really valuable and hard to get, but they have to get them. You know, you can't make the playoffs without a forward. And you know, the Cavs are the most extreme example of this, but how are they going to do with a bunch of good guards and a bunch of good bigs? You know, they didn't make the playoffs last year with an all-star point guard and an all-star center because they didn't have the forwards, right? And they think they will this year, but that doesn't matter to this discussion. The point is, wings are really important. You have an all-star point guard and an all-star center. That might not even be enough to make the playoffs in the NBA now because forwards are so important, and the Pacers have none. They have to acquire them if they want to get better.
What about Benedict Mathurin? Is he a guy that could make a leap or become super intriguing early on, and then all of a sudden that kind of answers some of these questions?
That is certainly possible. You know, as a sixth overall pick, I think they're hoping he can do sort of close to that level. He's 6'5", 6'6"-ish. You know, I don't want to guess what his height is, but I've stood next to him. Either way, you know, his skills look like he's going to be more guardish on offense, but you can play the forward spots if you can defend forwards, right? So I think he could be one of the answers at the three spot if he could, you know, go out there and guard small forwards and do a good job being nosy and aggressive. But it's kind of too early to say if he's going to be able to do that stuff. I'm sure the Pacers hope that he can be the answer there because they currently don't really have anyone. But you know, Duarte kind of did it last year, and Mathurin could maybe do it in the future. But right now they're kind of stuck in the mud trying to figure out how they're going to score and defend at the forward spots.
Let's look at some of these other teams. The Sacramento Kings, what do we think they need to do, Brandon? What do we think they need to do to, you know, to make the playoffs and to move forward? When I look at this team, I say, there's a couple of things. I don't know if their roster is built net yet to be a playoff team. They would have to find a center that somehow fits with Sabonis that's better than the fit that was with Miles Turner in Indiana, because that on paper was like one of the best fits you could have. It's a guy that shoots the three, that also defends the rim, can defend in space as well. And that didn't really even work. So I don't know how to build a team around Domantas Sabonis to make it work so that they're a real good playoff team. And I don't know that De'Aaron Fox is good enough as a guard to carry all these other guards to get to the point where I'm feeling really good about the Sacramento Kings team to be a playoff team. But Brandon, what do you see looking forward with this Kings team for them to be a playoff team? What would they have to do?
They have to create what they want their identity to be. You hit the nail on the head. You got to find a personnel that wants to fit the system that you want to run. You know, the big problem that I see with the Kings is that they draft best player available, but the best player may not fit the system. You know, you mentioned it, De'Aaron Fox. He's going to run the ball. So, you know, is Sabonis going to be able to, you know, roll with him, you know, to push the pace? You know, so the Kings, they have a lot of talent, but I think the problem with them is really coaching and system. You know, they have the talent. They have a very talented team. So, you know, I can throw them in there as a team that needs to do a consolidation trade too. You know, I think they're a piece away from really, you know.
They did that. They went and got Domantas Sabonis. Tony, you covered Domantas Sabonis for a while. What is it about his game and playing with Fox now that, you know, makes them a fringe playoff team, but it's not like propelling them the way that the Kings hoped that it would?
Yeah, I think it should work theoretically together. Like Sabonis is probably the best screener in the NBA. Fox is crafty with the ball. And again, he was awesome after the trade deadline last year in terms of scoring the ball because guys were letting him get downhill. Sabonis' screens were a big part of that. He doesn't supply a ton of spacing. And the other factor to talk about is, yeah, De'Aaron Fox is this brilliant transition player, super fast with the ball, right? Like, that's his core skill, and that's important for the Kings. To get into transition, you have to get a stop, and the Kings don't do that. And, yeah, nothing about that. That is where I feel like the Fox-Sabonis pairing sort of falls short, is that they can't do that part. They were 27th in defense last year, and even, you know, maybe they can get a little better with more chemistry and a little bit different of a team, but in general, they don't project to take a massive step forward defensively, so they can't really use Fox in that way. So I think in the half court, those two can fit really well together. They added some shooting around them, sure, but the move's got to be getting the defenders onto that team that let them maximize Fox. And when he is not maximized, he can now run a pick and roll with Sabonis. You know, that's a very dumbed down way of looking at what the Kings need to do, but adding defense that lets Fox be really good is very important to that team.
The other thing I think is Keegan Murray maybe like breaking out, just having honestly, I feel like if Keegan Murray breaks out and he's better than De'Aaron Fox, that's when I could see this Kings team making a huge step forward. Say, we're a playoff team. We are, you know, kind of what Tyrese Haliburton was doing last year before they traded him to the Pacers for Domantas Sabonis. Like, if they could just do that same thing, catch lightning in a bottle again, then maybe I could see them moving forward. The Detroit Pistons are the other team that we're talking about here. And for the Detroit Pistons to be a playoff team in the next couple of years, Walker, like, they're kind of already doing it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's internal improvement for them, right? Like, notice how we all kind of said maybe make a trade. And I know, Tony, with the Pacers, you're kind of in this long rebuild trying to figure out they're going to make a trade at some point with Turner. I don't know. We can do that joke a million more times if we want. But with the Detroit Pistons.
Hold on. Shams just reported about a possible Turner trade to some destination at some point. Maybe
locked on now. Stay tuned. We're all uploading our videos. But when we talk about the Pistons, are pretty clearly the most exciting future team in this group, right? Like, because there's just so much unknown, and you just maybe guess that Cade Cunningham is the best player in this group at that kind of young age. At least he's in the conversation. So to have him to go ahead and get Jaden Ivey, who I loved in the pre-draft process, and of course everybody else did. There's a reason you're a top five pick. And then to also have Jalen Duren, who I kind of wanted here in Charlotte.
Yeah.
We did for 5 seconds and then traded him. So that was fun. I'll never forget those 5 minutes that we had him. Like Detroit having those guys a part of that core with Sadiq Bey, who just seems to be a perfect fit. Yeah, like it kind of reminds me a little bit of Cleveland. Do they have a team this year that might just be ahead of schedule and surprises people? You know, eventually the Cavaliers, they fall back to the pack and then finish in the play-in at 9. But they were up there in the top 6 for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have an injury like Ricky Rubio. Hurts them, you know, just having a backcourt veteran to help and facilitate. Is Detroit somewhere in that neighborhood to where maybe they don't finish as a top 4 seed halfway through the season, but are they here solidly in the mix in that play-in group? And hell, I mean, Brandon, you talked about them actually making an outright playoff spot. Like, it's not crazy to think maybe they could be ahead of schedule. And of course, that only means bad things for my Charlotte Hornets, where, you know, LaMelo, PJ, Mark Williams, Jalen McDaniels, like, you have some young talent. You can for sure have internal improvement, but I don't see this team making a top 6 spot without making a trade. I could see that with Detroit, you know, making maybe like a small veteran trade here or there, but mostly it being predicated based off internal improvement.
Definitely the most projectable team for sure. We can look at that team on paper and just say, oh, I can see where this team will be in 3 or 4 years. And that's probably a playoff team going forward. If Cade develops the way we hope, if Jaden Ivey can break out and be, you know, what everyone hopes a top 5 pick can be, Jalen Duren and all that.
You know what the Pistons remind me of this year is the Atlanta Hawks. That year that they had Trae Young's second year, rookie DeAndre Hunter, rookie Cam Reddish, right? Second year, John Collins. You know, they were all lining up at the same time and they won that was a shortened season because of COVID, but they were on like a 28 win pace team. And then boom, they make the conference finals the next year. I feel like this is that Hawks season where all those dudes are young and learning to play together. And then the Pistons next year, it all meshes and they look really awesome. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Interesting. You can see that. You can see all the talent starting to come together for that team. This has been the play-in hopefuls for the NBA. The Sacramento Kings, Charlotte Hornets, Washington Wizards, Detroit Pistons, Indiana Pacers all have a Locked On show that covers their Team Daily on YouTube and on podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. So go ahead and check those out. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And we'll continue on with the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022. Up next, it's nothing but bet. Which play in hopefuls can get it done? Matt Moore of the Locked On NBA and the Action Network is here to help you win some cash with some betting angles that you need to know. Continuing on the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm joined by Matt Moore from the Action Network and Locked On NBA. We're talking about the play-in hopefuls teams. These are the teams that they got some hopes, but their hopes kind of only like land at the play-in. If they can get to the play-in, that'd probably be a successful season for them. Let's start with, oh man, the Charlotte Hornets. Their over-under win total is 35.5 after making the play in the last 2 years and getting dominated in the playoffs, the play in the last 2 years. No Miles Bridges probably for them this year. Just a really rough offseason overall for that team. What's the best bet for the Hornets?
So I bet the under. This opened 37.5 at some spots, which is where I grabbed it. I think it's still good at 36.5. I think it's still good at 34.5. I think it's good at any number. I've also bet the Hornets for the worst record in the National Basketball Association. Mm. Because if you're going to tank this year with Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson making plays and highlight reels, why not go all the way? You know, I like the hire of Steve Clifford. I generally do. And Clifford's 2-0 in his to the over in his first season with the team. He gets buy-in. He coaches discipline. That was a big reason that they brought Clifford on board. Was basically, it wasn't that Borrego was bad with the X's and O's. The X's and O's actually, under James Borrego, pretty good. But the locker room was pretty much a mess. They had no discipline. So they bring in Steve Clifford, who's going to bring in a professional atmosphere, professional attitude. And I like Steve Clifford a lot. Do not like this roster. And at some point, they've been trying to shop Gordon Hayward for essentially 2 years. I've heard him brought up consistently in league circles for 2 years as a guy, quote unquote, likely to be moved sometime in the future. Now, they haven't been able to move him because of the injury history, but at some point the contract will get small enough for him to get moved, and then they take a real hit. Terry Rozier has played great for the Hornets, but when I'm talking about Terry Rozier is like, wow, he's like a shining star there for what they have. That's a bad sign. I also didn't like the way LaMelo Ball played last year. I don't have any reason to think that he's going to shift gears defensively or that they're going to be decent at all. Their roster isn't built to play well defensively. Steve Clifford said, like, oh, we got to play fast. This team is built to play fast. Clifford teams have never played fast. So there's going to be a lot of tension there between trying to get this team to play defense with a bunch of young guys that don't know what they're doing, and then also trying to run the ball and play offensively. That combination, I think, is going to be difficult. I like the under on this team a lot. Now, I was off on them last year. I was absolutely well off on them last year. I thought they were going to be under. They went way over. The more you kind of look at, though, as far as the season went along, a lot of reason to think that they're due for a regression. The value, it's under or nothing when it comes to the Hornets.
Mm. Their biggest weakness, too, was like at center. They go and they draft Mark Williams, and like reports out of Charlotte is he's not even in the rotation at this point, too, which is not really a good sign for the Hornets right now. So lots of bad signs going in the Hornets' direction. So Matt saying the under. The Washington Wizards are kind of a team that, I don't know, they're just kind of hanging out in their area. Their over-under is 35.5, too. It's like not bad vibes, not great vibes. Bradley Beal's still there, re-signed. Porzingis, Kuzma, Rui. They got a lot of dudes, but what's the bet for the Wizards?
I like the over. I like the over quite a bit. I haven't bet it yet. We'll see if the market really kind of hammers them if they go the other direction. So there's a chance that this could be the team that goes the other way, right? Just completely tanks out and tries to get Bradley Beal, Victor Wembanyama. I don't have any confidence that if things get tough, that Bradley Beal is going to stick around. And by that, I mean, like, just signed his extension, so he won't be traded. But he's proven that he'll put his health and his situation and is totally willing to be like, oh, played 40 games. My work here is done. And so, and that's fine. Take care of your body, get that bag. But the baseline for this team, I think, is it's a buy low spot because so many of these guys in the rotation, Kyle Kuzma, Will Barton, Monte Morris, Rui Hachimura, Kristaps Porzingis, who Nick, you know, from his stellar and well-received time in Dallas.
Yeah, to bring that up.
A lot of those guys are just solid. Like, they give you some good stuff. But the injury risks here are very real. If there's a reason to stay away from it, it's the injury stuff. They just might get completely hurt. Beal's out. Porzingis is out. They can't stay above 500. They reverse course and shift down. But if you tell me that they're going to have decent health and actually pursue a playoff spot, if ownership is like, I want to make the playoffs, I think this team goes over. It's a low number for a veteran team. Those to me are buy low spots. I like the over a little bit for the Wizards.
The Sacramento Kings made some big moves last year. They traded for Domantas Sabonis. They added some free agents this offseason. Their over-under right now, as I see it, is 34 as a win total over-under. For a team with two like pseudo all-star type players in Fox and Sabonis, 34 seems so low to me. What's the bet for the Kings?
My biggest bet of the preseason is the over on the Sacramento Kings.
Wow. Finally, Matt Moore doesn't hate your team, Sacramento.
It's not that I love the team. It's that I love the number. So a couple things here. The Kings drastically overperformed in terms of record last year based off a point differential. Okay. That sounds like a bad thing. You're like, so they overperformed, so they should regress backwards. I've been studying the win totals for teams over the past 10 years. Bookmakers set the lines based off of those expected numbers to a higher correlation than the actual win totals. That's a lot of jargon. Let me put it this way. The bookmakers aren't using how good the teams were in record. They're using how much they win or lost by. And there's reasons for that. But what happens then is the numbers get juiced in either direction. The underperformers have their numbers set too high. The overperformers get set too low, to the tune of 68%. Under teams conditions with teams with a win total under 40.
Wow.
So in the last 10 years. So you've got that. You've got teams. Honestly, this is a sweet spot range. Teams in this 30 to 40 range are often the teams that the bookmakers tend to get wrong to the over. Unders overall are profitable, but this specific range is where the overs tend to hit. It's these teams that they're like, we don't think they're very good, but we don't think they're terrible. And they outperform those expectations. You combine that with like, look, Domantas Sabonis, awesome. De'Aaron Fox, really good. I'm high on Davion Mitchell. Love Keegan Murray. Like, there are Harrison Barnes, capable NBA player. They added guys like Kevin Huerter. There's a mandate very clearly to get this team in the playoffs. I don't think it's gonna happen because the West is insane, but it's enough for me to get this over at such a low figure. Low 30s? Yeah. The Kings are the over bet for me of the season.
34. I mean, 34 is so low in the NBA. Yeah. Love that as a big bet. The Detroit Pistons, low as well. 29 is their over-under. Cade Cunningham, they bring in Bojan Bogdanovic maybe to add some veteran presence. They add Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren in the draft. Any thoughts on the 29 for Detroit, or is there a better bet?
This one's been juiced up, and I don't think there's any value anymore. So this opened, there were some books that actually opened at 26.5. It immediately popped up to 27.5, 28.5, and now we're 29.5. Like, bettors clearly like the over. This is the fun young team that everybody wants to bet the over with.
Yeah.
Kay Cunningham and Isaiah Stewart and Jaden Ivey and all these guys, Jalen Duren, like all
league pass team.
Yeah, right? The league pass team. I'm high on a lot of their guys. I love Beef Stew. What a nickname for Isaiah Stewart.
It's amazing.
I love Jaden Ivey. Total, like, he is a tough dude. He's going to get buckets. Love Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey, after he shook off those early season shooting woes, which the Pistons literally shot like a team from the 1940s, like they were doing plumbing jobs for their real job. Like, once they shook that off, Sadiq Bey was liquid fire for a lot of the season. He's really good. I love Sadiq Bey. I actually have a small, tiny little nibble on him for most improved player.
Ooh.
But if you're going to bet this now, I would tell you that you should probably bet the under because it's been juiced up so much. You've got value. Yeah. Teams usually just don't make this jump. They don't go from 22 to 30 wins. Over the last 10 years, that rate has been something like 25%. It just does not work out well for teams to make that kind of a leap. Love Cade Cunningham. Like, that's why it's probably not going to be a bet for me. I'm not going to bet the under because I don't want to bet against Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey and all these guys. And like, the number's low enough that a couple of fluke wins can really make you sweat late in the season. And if they're a little high and the bottom teams are so low that they can't catch them in the tank, Detroit will try and keep winning. So that's a concern. But at this point, I would tell you there's no value in betting the over at 29.5.
So they win 23 games last year. Their over-under is 29. The Mavericks, when they first had Luka, first year was they won like 33 games. Then the next year they go all the way up to 43, like a 10-win jump. Now they did add Porzingis in that. But what's stopping a Cade Cunningham Detroit Pistons team from not making that same kind of leap?
I think you have to look at the veterans, right? So even though Dorian, I don't think was what he is now, you got guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. You've got like veteran component that they tried to put around Luka to help him out. Like the Mavericks did not go full youth movement. It was like a middling kind of weird roster. And then like, let's just drop Luka into the middle of it. Oh, hey, he's a top five player in the NBA. We're pretty good now. With Cade, so many of these guys, Jaden Ivey, Sadiq Bey, they're still playing Killian Hayes for some reason. Look, I liked Killian Hayes as a prospect, but you got to quit trying to make this happen, Detroit. Oof. You got to let it go. Stewart, Durant, like, all these guys are super young. The vets are on the bench, and there are good guys there, like Corey Joseph, Alec Burks. Like, Burks' plus-minus last year was tremendous. There are dudes that will help the Pistons off the bench. They have good veteran leadership, but I don't know if they're going to play enough because you want to develop the young guys, and young teams typically don't win in the NBA. So that would be my counter to the Mavericks comparison.
The last one, Indiana Pacers, over under 23.5. They have Tyrese Halliburton. They haven't made that Lakers trade yet, the one that's just sitting there, the Miles Turner and Buddy Hield trade. What's the play for the Indiana Pacers?
I got colleagues that really like Tyrese Halliburton for most improved. The track record has said that if your team is not above 500 and not in the playoff race and you're not in all-star consideration, you no longer are in consideration for most improved player. I just bet Sadiq Bey, who does not fit any of those categories. Say,
you're a good stats, bad team guy at that point.
Let's just be very clear. Those guys have won in very rare instances. They're worth it, the long numbers. They're just not the best value on the board. My point here is with Indiana, I wanted an angle to bet the under, because I think that they are transitioning to a tank. I think they are transitioning to really try and rebuild. I think they are transitioning to get in the Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson race. And they're within range of trying to do it. I dug into the numbers. There's just too much offense here, Nick. Like, Tyrese Halliburton's really freaking good. When he and Isaiah Jackson ran pick and roll, that was 65th percentile in pick and roll efficiency last season. Do you know how hard that is with the kind of guys that the Pacers were playing? If they don't trade Miles Turner, if they don't trade Buddy Hield, if they don't trade both of them, those guys are going to help them win. And those guys need to get on the court at some point. They want to get on the court to keep their contract value high. Benjamin Mathurin looks really good in preseason. Again, if this number was 26, I'm all the way in. Let's hammer this under. Trying to figure out exactly how low teams are going to go this season to try and improve the draft odds is difficult. It's just difficult. Is it going to be 20? Is it going to be 15? Are we going to see like teams in the Bobcats ranges of 12? It's hard to lose that
Not
many
the
games.
Bobcats.
Not yeah. The and Bobcats. So if they get to, there's a chance that the Pacers are at like 19 wins with 20 games to go. And you're like, I should be okay, right?
Yeah, right.
And I don't want to be there.
And then Rick Carlisle just goes, no, you're not okay. You're not okay. There you go. You can go check out Matt Moore at the Action Network, as well as Locked On NBA and Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. Don't forget, this is a 6-episode series that will continue through October 17th, discussing every NBA team with the experts that know them best. Be sure to check out the rest of the series and be back to answer some of your biggest questions going into this season. Tomorrow, it's the Tankers. The Orlando Magic. Can Paolo Banchero pull them out of the mire? The San Antonio Spurs. How bad can it get? Greg Popovich told us at Media Day that it might get worse. Oklahoma City, no Chet this year, but what can SGA and company bring this upcoming season? The Utah Jazz, their host said they might make the postseason. And the Houston Rockets with Jalen Green in tow and Jabari Smith added, what can this young roster do? Once again, I'm Nick Engstead, and until next time, thank you to our friends at Odyssey and to you for listening and watching. Find the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast provider so you don't miss an episode.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now.
Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Continue on the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm joined by Matt Moore from the Action Network and Locked On NBA. We're talking about the play-in hopefuls teams. These are the teams that they got some hopes, but their hopes kind of only like land at the play-in. If they can get to the play-in, that'd probably be a successful season for them. Let's start with, oh man, the Charlotte Hornets. Their over-under win total is 35.5 after making the play-in the last 2 years and getting dominated in the playoffs, the play-in the last 2 years. No Miles Bridges probably for them this year. Just a really rough offseason overall for that team. What's the best bet for the Hornets?
So I bet the under. This opened 37.5 at some spots, which is where I grabbed it. I think it's still good at 36.5. I think it's still good at 34.5. I think it's good at any number. I've also bet the Hornets for the worst record in the National Basketball Association. Because if you're going to tank this year with Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson making plays and highlight reels, why not go all the way? You know, I like the hire of Steve Clifford. I generally do. And Clifford's 2-0 in his to the over in his first season with the team. He gets buy-in. He coaches discipline. That was a big reason that they brought Clifford on board. Was basically, it wasn't that Borrego was bad with the X's and O's. The X's and O's actually, under James Borrego, pretty good. But the locker room was pretty much a mess. They had no discipline. So they bring in Steve Clifford, who's going to bring in a professional atmosphere, professional attitude. And I like Steve Clifford a lot. Do not like this roster. And at some point, they've been trying to shop Gordon Hayward for essentially 2 years. I've heard him brought up consistently in league circles for 2 years as a guy, quote unquote, likely to be moved sometime in the future. Now, they haven't been able to move him because of the injury history, but at some point, the contract will get small enough for him to get moved, and then they take a real hit. Terry Rozier has played great for the Hornets, but when I'm talking about Terry Rozier, is like, wow, he's like a shining star there for what they have. That's a bad sign. I also didn't like the way LaMelo Ball played last year. I don't have any reason to think that he's going to shift gears defensively or that they're going to be decent at all. Their roster isn't built to play well defensively. Steve Clifford said, like, oh, we got to play fast. This team is built to play fast. Clifford teams have never played fast. So there's going to be a lot of tension there between trying to get this team to play defense with a bunch of young guys that don't know what they're doing and then also trying to run the ball and play offensively. That combination, I think, is going to be difficult. I like the under on this team a lot. Now, I was off on them last year. I was absolutely well off on them last year. I thought they were going to be under. They went way over. The more you kind of look at, though, as far as the season went along, a lot of reason to think that they're due for a regression. The value, it's under or nothing when it comes to the Hornets.
Mm. Their biggest weakness, too, was like at center. They go and they draft Mark Williams, and like reports out of Charlotte is he's not even in the rotation at this point, too, which is not really a good sign for the Hornets right now. So lots of bad signs going in the Hornets' direction. So Matt's saying the under. The Washington Wizards are kind of a team that, I don't know, they're just kind of hanging out in their area. Their over-under is 35.5, too. It's like not bad vibes, not great vibes. Bradley Beal's still there, re-sign. Porzingis, Kuzma, Rui. They got a lot of dudes, but what's the bet for the Wizards?
I like the over. I like the over quite a bit. I haven't bet it yet. We'll see if the market really kind of hammers them if they go the other direction. So there's a chance that this could be the team that goes the other way, right? And just completely tanks out and tries to get Bradley Beal, Victor Wembanyama. I don't have any confidence that if things get tough, that Bradley Beal is going to stick around. And by that, I mean, like, just signed his extension, so he won't be traded. But he's proven that he'll put his health and his situation and is totally willing to be like, oh, played 40 games. My work here is done. And so and that's fine. Take care of your body. Get that bag. But the baseline for this team, I think, is it's a buy low spot because so many of these guys in the rotation, Kyle Kuzma, Will Barton, Monte Morris, Rui Hachimura, Kristaps Porzingis, who Nick, you know, from his stellar and well-received time in Dallas.
Yeah, bring that up.
A lot of those guys are just solid. Like, they give you some good stuff. But the injury risks here are very real. If there's a reason to stay away from it, it's the injury stuff. They just might get completely hurt. Beal's out. Porzingis is out. They can't stay above 500. They reverse course and shift down. But if you tell me that they're going to have decent health and actually pursue a playoff spot, if ownership is like, I want to make the playoffs, I think this team goes over. It's a low number for a veteran team. Those, to me, are buy low spots. I like the over a little bit for the Wizards.
The Sacramento Kings made some big moves last year. They traded for Domantas Sabonis. They added some free agents this offseason. Their over-under right now, as I see it, is 34 as a win total over-under. For a team with two like pseudo all-star type players in Fox and Sabonis, 34 seems so low to me. What's the bet for the Kings?
My biggest bet of the preseason is the over on the Sacramento Kings.
Wow. Finally. Finally, Matt Moore doesn't hate your team, Sacramento.
It's not that I love the team. It's that I love the number. So a couple things here. The Kings drastically overperformed in terms of record last year based off a point differential. Okay. That sounds like a bad thing. You're like, so they overperformed, so they should regress backwards. I've been studying the win totals for teams over the past 10 years. Bookmakers set the lines based off of those expected numbers to a higher correlation than the actual win totals. That's a lot of jargon. Let me put it this way. The bookmakers aren't using how good the teams were in record. They're using how much they win or lost by. And there's reasons for that. But what happens then is the numbers get juiced in either direction. The underperformers have their numbers set too high. The overperformers get set too low, to the tune of 68%. Under teams conditions with teams with a win total under 40.
Wow.
So in the last 10 years. So you've got that. You've got teams. Honestly, this is a sweet spot range. Teams in this 30 to 40 range are often the teams that the bookmakers tend to get wrong to the over. Unders overall are profitable, but this specific range is where the overs tend to hit. It's these teams that they're like, we don't think they're very good, but we don't think they're terrible. And they outperform those expectations. You combine that with like, look, Domantas Sabonis, awesome. De'Aaron Fox, really good. I'm high on Davion Mitchell. Love Keegan Murray. Like, there are Harrison Barnes, capable NBA player. They added guys like Kevin Huerter. There's a mandate very clearly to get this team in the playoffs. I don't think it's gonna happen because the West is insane, but it's enough for me to get this over at such a low figure. Low 30s? Yeah. The Kings are the over bet for me of the season.
34. I mean, 34 is so low in the NBA. Yeah. Love that as a big bet. The Detroit Pistons, low as well. 29 is their over-under. Cade Cunningham, they bring in Bojan Bogdanovic maybe to add some veteran presence. They add Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren in the draft. Any thoughts on the 29 for Detroit, or is there a better bet?
This one's been juiced up, and I don't think there's any value anymore. So this opened, there were some books that actually opened at 26.5. It immediately popped up to 27.5, 28.5, and now we're 29.5. Like, bettors clearly like the over. This is the fun young team that everybody wants to bet the over with.
Yeah.
Kay Cunningham and Isaiah Stewart and Jaden Ivey and all these guys, Jalen Duren, like all
league pass team.
Yeah, right? The league pass team. I'm high on a lot of their guys. I love Beef Stew. What a nickname for Isaiah Stewart.
It's amazing.
I love Jaden Ivey. Total, like, he is a tough dude. He's going to get buckets. Love Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey, after he shook off those early season shooting woes, which the Pistons literally shot like a team from the 1940s, like they were doing plumbing jobs for their real job. Like, once they shook that off, Sadiq Bey was liquid fire for a lot of the season. He's really good. I love Sadiq Bey. I actually have a small, tiny little nibble on him for most improved player.
Ooh.
But if you're going to bet this now, I would tell you that you should probably bet the under because it's been juiced up so much. You've got value. Teams usually just don't make this jump. They don't go from 22 to 30 wins. Over the last 10 years, that rate has been something like 25%. It just does not work out well for teams to make that kind of a leap. Love Cade Cunningham. Like, that's why it's probably not going to be a bet for me. I'm not going to bet the under because I don't want to bet. I don't want to bet against Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey and all these guys. And like, the number's low enough that a couple of fluke wins can really make you sweat late in the season. And if they're a little high and the bottom teams are so low that they can't catch them in the tank, Detroit will try and keep winning. So that's a concern. But at this point, I would tell you there's no value in betting the over at 29.5.
So they win 23 games last year. Their over-under is 29. The Mavericks, when they first had Luka, first year was they won like 33 games. Then the next year, they go all the way up to 43, like a 10-win jump. Now, they did add Porzingis in that. But what's stopping a Cade Cunningham, Detroit Pistons team from not making that same kind of leap?
I think you have to look at the veterans, right? So even though Dorian, I don't think was what he is now. You got guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. You've got like veteran components that they tried to put around Luka to help him out. Like, the Mavericks did not go full youth movement. It was like a middling kind of weird roster. And then like, let's just drop Luka into the middle of it. Oh, hey, he's a top five player in the NBA. We're pretty good now. With Cade, so many of these guys, Jaden Ivey, Sadiq Bey, they're still playing Killian Hayes for some reason. Look, I liked Killian Hayes as a prospect, but you got to quit trying to make this happen, Detroit. Oof. You got to let it go. Stewart, Durant, like, all these guys are super young. The vets are on the bench, and there are good guys there, like Corey Joseph, Alec Burks. Like, Burks' plus minus last year was tremendous. There are dudes that will help the Pistons off the bench. They have good veteran leadership. But I don't know if they're going to play enough because you want to develop the young guys. And young teams typically don't win in the NBA. So that would be my counter to the Mavericks comparison.
The last one, Indiana Pacers, over under 23.5. They have Tyrese Halliburton. They haven't made that Lakers trade yet. The one that's just sitting there, the Miles Turner and Buddy Hield trade. What's the play for the Indiana Pacers?
I got colleagues that really like Tyrese Halliburton for most improved. The track record has said that if your team is not above 500 and not in the playoff race and you're not in all-star consideration, you no longer are in consideration for most improved player. I just bet Sadiq Bey, who does not fit any of those categories.
I was gonna say, you're a good stats, bad team guy at that point.
Let's just be very clear. Those guys have won in very rare instances. They're worth it at the long numbers. They're just not the best value on the board. My point here is with Indiana, I wanted an angle to bet the under. Because I think that they are transitioning to a tank. I think they are transitioning to really try and rebuild. I think they are transitioning to get in the Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson race. And they're within range of trying to do it. I dug into the numbers. There's just too much offense here, Nick. Like, Tyrese Halliburton's really freaking good. When he and Isaiah Jackson ran pick and roll, that was 65th percentile in pick and roll efficiency last season. Do you know how hard that is with the kind of guys that the Pacers were playing? If they don't trade Miles Turner, if they don't trade Buddy Hield, if they don't trade both of them, those guys are going to help them win. And those guys need to get on the court at some point. They want to get on the court to keep their contract value high. Benjamin Mathurin looks really good in preseason. Again, if this number was 26, I'm all the way in. Let's hammer this under. Trying to figure out exactly how low teams are going to go this season to try and improve the draft odds is difficult. It's just difficult. Is it going to be 20? Is it going to be 15? Are we going to see like teams in the Bobcats ranges of 12? It's hard to lose that
Not
many
the
games.
Bobcats.
Not yeah. The and Bobcats. So if they get to, there's a chance that the Pacers are at like 19 wins with 20 games to go. And you're like, I should be okay, right?
Yeah, right.
And I don't want to be there.
And then Rick Carlisle just goes, No, you're not okay. You're not okay. There you go. You can go check out Matt Moore at the Action Network as well as Locked On NBA and Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. Don't forget, this is a 6-episode series that will continue through October 17th discussing every NBA team with the experts that know them best. Be sure to check out the rest of the series and be back to answer some of your biggest questions going into this season. Tomorrow, it's the Tankers. The Orlando Magic. Can Paolo Banchero pull them out of the mire? The San Antonio Spurs. How bad can it get? Greg Popovich told us at Media Day that it might get worse. Oklahoma City, no Chet this year, but what can SGA and company bring this upcoming season? The Utah Jazz, their host said they might make the postseason. And the Houston Rockets with Jalen Green in tow and Jabari Smith added, what can this young roster do? Once again, I'm Nick Engstead, and until next time, thank you to our friends at Odyssey and to you for listening and watching. Find the Ultimate Pro Basketball Preview 2022 on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast provider so you don't miss an episode.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.